I want to say welcome here. Whether you have been a long-time attender, new member maybe here at the church, or maybe it's your first time here, or you've been coming for a bit, checking out Faith. You've heard we're doing a bit of a church series here over the next couple of weeks, so you want to come and take a look at it. I just want to welcome you. This is a series called The Politics of Jesus, Following Jesus in a Politically Polarized Age. And with that, I want to invite you, just take a deep breath. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? I think I've heard the word tariff more in the last 7 days than I have in my previous, up to my years so far. But between that, by Canadian slogans, and actually having Canadians boo the American national anthem at sporting events, it's been a lot this week. And I can tell you something, if us polite, nice, warm, friendly Canadians boo an anthem, something, or should I say someone, has hit a nerve. But let's pause for a minute from that, because I think we just all need to just kind of, you know, have a break and play a game. I was youth pastor here back in the day, and so we did play lots of games, and one of the games we played was called Side of the Room. So basically, we'd give a topic, and we'd say, like, if it's your preference, why don't you go to one side of the room, and if it's another, you know, go to the other side. So there's a lot of us here, we're not going to do that. We're not going to physically move. What I'm going to ask you to do, though, is just give a visual thumbs up or down, okay? Very easy. And what I want you to do is look around. This isn't a private, like, let's hide the thumb. Let's actually show this, okay? And these are very serious issues that we're going to talk about, all right? So just be bold. I just want to invite you just to say it out and look around, all right? The first one. Are you a snow fan? Are you a fan of snow? Give me a thumbs up or a big thumbs down. Yes, us prairie people, right? We love the snow, bring it. So good, 7 more days of this, I love it. How about this, Tim Hortons coffee. Yeah? Starbucks, I don't know, okay, we're fine. We're gonna get more serious here, all right? Cybertruck fan, how many of you are a Cybertruck fan? Some of you, okay. If you are married, I want you to look at your spouse right now, all right? And just see, maybe that's a Valentine's gift you want to give, if they have a thumbs up, I don't know. And then lastly, here's the biggest one of all. Olives or no olives in your salad? Olives or no olives? Personally, I'd have no idea why God created olives. I hate them. And I would say not even on your salad, but just rid them of the earth. Like, get rid of them completely. You realize we have a lot of issues to talk about this morning in culture, right? And I haven't even broached the hockey subject, so we're not going to go there. But I wanted you to see, as you look around, and realize this, there are people around you who think differently than you. Did you know that? As you came in the church this morning, you smiled, maybe even you said good morning and shook hands with someone close to you, and they have a different view of coffee than you. You look so similar, but who knew life could look so different? Now, let me just bridge this and say, what if we weren't talking olives or coffee or hockey this morning? What if instead I asked you, and I'm not going to, by the way, please don't do this, but if I asked you to give a thumbs up if you believe the Liberals should win the next election? What about if you believe in or not a wide open door on refugees entering Canada? Or how about, did Israel have the right to invade Gaza? Or how about, should people under the age of 18 have access to government-funded gender transition treatments? Now things are getting a little bit spicy here this morning, right? In politics, there are always issues. There are always issues. For as long as man has been alive, there's always been issues. But here's the one I want to talk about this morning. As we seek as a church to follow King Jesus, I want to focus our attention this morning in the middle of this series, not on the political issues themselves, but on the conversations we have in regards to politics. I want to suggest this morning that how we talk about politics is just as important as what we talk about in politics. And let me say that again. You may disagree with me already, but I want to just walk through this and just listen to me here as I go. I want to suggest this morning that how we talk about politics is just as important as what we talk about in politics. Why? It's because King Jesus mandated this. In John 13:35, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think what Jesus is saying here is our apprenticeship to Jesus has everything to do with the words we speak in the name of Jesus. Would you join me as we pray this morning? Father, it's our desire to hear from you this morning, so Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to us? Because I know this whole area of politics hits really close to home for probably a lot of us. And we want to do what's right. We want to follow you. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this morning? And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I remember when I was in grade 8, I can remember that far back, I had a friend by the name of Andre Ridgway. Andre was a cool guy in school, and we had similar interests, and so I invited him over one day after school to hang out. And we did. We played Atari, we got snacks, and we had a great old time, and I got a chance to introduce him to my sister, who is 3 years older than me. She was home at the time, so I was like, you know, Andre, Danielle, Andre, hey, cool, whatever. And we went off and played. And then as we came up and we were eating more, my sister was in the same room, and I honestly do not remember how this came up, but at some point the word church came up. And as church came up, it just kind of got my sister's attention. And all of a sudden she asked, Andre, what church do you go to? He said, a Catholic one. And my sister, never one to sidestep a conversation, looked at him and asked him, so are you telling me that you believe in purgatory? Now, I don't remember all that was said, but I just remember watching them, almost like you watch a tennis match if you're at center court and you're just like this way back and this way back. They were using big words that I had no idea of. And there was just so many times in that conversation that I'm like, can we just go back and play Atari? I just want to play my game. But it was a series of monologues back and forth at each other, not listening to one another. But I remember at the end of it, my friend left upset, my sister left upset, and I thought, well, that was really fun, wasn't it? We should do this again sometime. Now, I'm not talking at all about the Catholic Church. That's not the issue this morning. The issue is, how do we talk to people about issues that we disagree on? For my sister, she couldn't see it, and my friend couldn't see it, and it was so hard. But I wonder if we feel the same way when it comes to talking politics in 2025. Every expert would agree that we are more divided than ever. A friend of mine said, he said it felt like it started during COVID. And he said, the church, all of society, yes, but even in the church, let's pretend the church is this stool here. He said, it's almost like you can take any topic and put a book over it. And that topic will come down and land either on one side or the other. But we have lost this middle ground. We are so polarized on everything. And it's so evident today. We are a polarized people. Remember when Trump became president in 2016? Some people loved him and rallied in the streets while others took to the streets to claim, remember this phrase? Not my president. Here in Canada, COVID was one minefield after another with mandates on truckers to be vaccinated. Remember this? It's like I'm twitching. I don't want to remember any of this. But the truckers to be vaccinated seemed to be the tipping point to have strong opinions on both sides. We either fully believed that they should be, or we said no, and that's where the Freedom Convoy started. And then, a few years ago, moving away from COVID, the proposed SOGI, which is sexual orientation and gender identity curriculum in public schools, was met with strong protests on either side. It feels like we've lost our middle ground. Now, can I just go back to the beginning? Remember, I'm not talking about the issues here. Those are the what in politics. What I want to say is that how is just as important as what. Absolutely, hear me, truth matters. And it's important that we have a Holy Spirit-shaped opinion as we apprentice our lives to him. That is important. But how we go about expressing ourselves matters so much. In a polarized age, we need to ask ourselves, why am I increasingly frustrated with people who see issues differently than I do? And aren't we that way? We see someone who, you know, a social media post. We don't even know the person. They're strangers, but it stirs something up in us that is not great. Amen. Yes, it's so true. Eli Finkel, professor of psychology at Northwest University in Illinois, suggests this. I love this. He says, liberals and conservatives haven't gotten farther apart in how they think about key political issues, but they have grown to dislike one another much more than they once did. In the 1970s, when pollsters asked voters to rate from 0 to 100 their feelings about the average supporter of the opposing party, you'd get something in the middle of the scale, about 50. Today, it's closer to about 20. And then he says something so telling. He says, we hate the other side because we have fabricated villains, misperceiving the average political opponent as a caricatured zealot. Isn't that true? In whatever side you take on a given issue, I think there's something that's common for all of us in what we do. And we are prone to do this, and we so easily slip into this, myself very much included. And that is, we are quick to judge the other side. You see, Jesus warns us of the danger of rushing to judgment. In what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that Jesus ever gave, Jesus is literally teaching on a mountainside to hundreds, perhaps thousands of people. And here's what Jesus says on the issue of relationships and conversations. Matthew chapter 7, he says this, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus puts it out there as plain as day. Don't judge. Don't do it. You don't know the full story of the person that you're talking to, so don't pretend you do and cast judgment. And then Jesus moves on. He says, being the master of object lessons, he describes it this way. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I remember Pastor Matthew gave this illustration. He may have been here. This was years ago, so Matthew said, please, go ahead and use it again. He gave me permission. But he says it's this. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you've got to basically put it, you've got a plank in your eye, okay? This is what it looks like. And as I hold this up here, I'm going to look at someone in the back row. Yes, I see you there. And I see that speck. And I'm so sorry that it's there, but I want to help you take it out. And you're saying to me, like, Jeff, you're a bit of a weirdo. You've got something in your eye. How can you even possibly see that? And I'm like, what? I don't understand. Like, what? This doesn't make any sense. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. We don't see. You see, the question is this morning that Jesus is asking us is, can we see? Can we see? In Jesus' day, there were just so many opinions. Everyone had their own ideas of power, of system of taxation, on the benefits or merits of Roman rule or not, and groups who were diametrically opposed to one another. In Jesus' day, there was these two extreme groups. One was called the Essenes. The Essenes saw that the present was so evil and so bad that they just only wanted to think about future things, and especially God's reign. So what they did is they went in and created their own community far away from culture and any sort of civilization. And they were actually found close to the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're the ones that wrote all of these prophecies that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But they believed in a future reign. On the other side of this, like I said, this book that's here, if the Essenes are on one side, the Zealots are on another side. And they believed in God's rule as well, but they wanted it to come now with a sword. To them, might was right, and let's happen now. Why wait for later? So what does Jesus say to the Essenes and the Zealots and everyone else who had every sort of political view? Do not judge. We don't know the whole story. So the question is this morning, can we see? Our apprenticeship to Jesus has everything to do with the words we speak in the name of Jesus. Do we believe this this morning? Author Jeremy Treat says, the problem, or at least a large part of it, is that we've lost the ability to dialogue with people with whom we disagree. Have we taken time to deal with our own plank? And our own plank is maybe our own biases, our own prejudices, our own discriminations, stereotypes, or overgeneralizations. And let's be honest, at the heart of all of this too is our ego, right? This is our plank. And have we removed it in order to be able to see the person on the other side of the argument? And so if you've felt it around you lately in our culture, maybe on Facebook, I feel like I get lost sometimes, to be honest, in dialogues. Oh, I don't know if they're really dialogues, but someone posts just one thing and it's like, oh man, here we go. There's like 34 comments. And I'm like, what did they say? It's almost like TV, right? It's captivating, but it's all people who are so polarized. But if you feel the tension today, maybe in social media, in the news, wherever, I want to offer us a little bit of a way out this morning. I want to offer us a way out by using three words that could maybe just take us a little bit out of the intensity to actually lighten things up just a little bit, not to back down on our truths, please hear me on this, but in how we talk about our truths. Three words to help us in the words of Jesus to truly love one another. All right, the first one is empathy. Empathy. Jeremy Treat says this. He says, it's easy to demonize people on the other side of the aisle when you don't know how they've arrived there. And I would say, actually, not only when we don't know how they've arrived there, but we don't really care how they've arrived there. The point is they're there, right? And they're wrong because obviously my opinion is right. But let me offer this. Before we open our mouth to speak, have we asked ourselves this question? Have you taken time to try to understand how someone would think differently than you? When you're sitting at a family dinner and you're like, oh no, grandma brought up that topic again. It's like, oh boy. And you're just ready to lay into poor grandma. Have you taken time to just think, how did grandma arrive at this conclusion? It might be worlds apart than yours, but have you taken time to think, how did she get there? If you're sitting at Starbucks and something comes up in a conversation with a friend that you don't agree with, before you open your mouth, empathy would say that you are taking time to think, how did they get there first? The old adage of walking a mile in someone else's shoes is so important. Ephesians 4:2 says this, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Not be partly, not when it feels right, not, you know, sometimes. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And can I add here, bearing with one another is a process. So be patient. Taking time to bear with someone is to listen to the other side. Let me just give a quick example. And Pastor Matthew alluded to this last week. Let's take the whole issue of climate change. Why not? This is a fun topic. Let's talk about it. Okay, there are those in the room today, I'm sure, that would say that we should move away from fossil fuels like oil because of the damage that it's doing to our planet. And if that's you this morning, you might even say that the oil found in the Alberta oil sands, for example, is dirty oil and it should be left where it is. Empathy says this, before you cast judgment and make your truth known, if you were to listen to someone on the other side, in other words, from the oil and gas industry, who's maybe an employee and has worked there, you would hear how someone has lost their house, their pension, and their livelihood in the name of not using that Alberta oil sands oil. But that person would also say, not only have I lost my income, but let me just tell you this, there's not all electric cars around here. We're heating our homes with things that we need. And so Canada is still using oil, but instead of bringing it out of our own backyard, we're getting it shipped from Saudi Arabia, which seems very strange because we have it right here. And how do we get it here? Because of the, of course, with the tankers that go across the ocean. And how much damage is all those tankers doing to marine life to get here in the first place? And you feel like, you know, drop the mic a moment, boom, there you go. But let's listen to the other side. Because if we flip the script, the person who cares deeply about climate change hears this and says, I understand and feel for you with the economic impact. But at the end of the day, what about me and my generation? Because I have to live in this world, and my kids need to live in this world, and my grandkids one day need to live in this world. And if we continue on our course and speed, we won't have much of a world to live in. Again, I know I sound like Switzerland here. I'm not trying to be neutral on everything. What I'm trying to do, though, is say how we talk about politics is just as important as what we talk about in politics. Can we see each other this morning? Second, gentleness. 1 Timothy 3 outlines the qualities of an elder in the church. And it says this, an elder is not to be given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle. There's that word again. Not quarrelsome and not a lover of money. Those are qualifications for an elder, but it doesn't mean by insinuation everyone else is off the hook. There's way too much in scripture to tell us that we're not. You know, it's very important for all of us. But listen to this here, not quarrelsome. I want to just focus on that for a moment. Not quarrelsome. In other words, Paul is saying here that the leaders in the church shouldn't be going around looking for a fight. And how do we fight in our day and age? We're not zealots necessarily, but there are two ways that we quarrel. And I think it's through silence and violence. Silence. When we don't agree with someone, we just walk away from a relationship. When we don't agree with how someone sees something the way we do, we just cut them off. I had a man at a conference years ago talk to me. We got chatting on a break about life and family. And he told me he has two kids. And this is what he said to me, word for word. He said, but one of them is gay. And then he went on to tell me that his son, shortly after high school, just came out and told him. He had no idea, but he said he was crushed. But he said this, he said, because his son knew that he wouldn't approve of the relationship, that his son moved out shortly after. And he said, to be honest, I haven't really talked to him over the last 10 years. And he said, you know what? He said, you know what? It's just as good because I hope he knows that I still don't approve of his relationship. To me, this is a tragedy. A father and son lost a relationship over silence. That it's a father-son relationship that has been formed in years and years and years. It's just suddenly broken. And it is actually, you know, in some ways, I think for this father, it's crushing him, but he feels like in truth he needs to take a stand. It's like the issue isn't the issue anymore. Who wins in this situation? Nobody. I've met people through my years, especially the last 5 years, who have said, I'm willing to go to the grave for what I believe in, even if it means I never talk to so-and-so again. And I get it. It's hard. I don't begin to understand the full intricacies and the layers of that father-son relationship that I talked about, or yours. But are you willing to go to the grave? To have a relationship that is broken off, to just walk away. There's also the other side. This is the more aggressive approach, the violence. The violence is seen through our cancel culture. And you may say, well, isn't that the silence part of it? Because we just cancel? It's like, I think this is the violence part because cancel culture is so public and so harsh. Canceling involves taking a very public stance against someone or something for actions that are considered offensive or wrong. That's the definition of that. A very public stance. In 2003, the Dixie Chicks, I think they're actually just called the Chicks now, but remember them, Wide Open Spaces? I'm going back a couple decades here. They were the hot ticket in town, touring to sold-out stadiums and living the high life. And you're sitting there, you're like, I know at least four of their songs, right? We all loved them. But on one stop in London, the lead singer, Natalie Maines, commented that she was ashamed. She had one comment during her thing. She was ashamed of George W. Bush for starting the Iraq War. And then they moved on and sang some more songs. Well, word got out. People didn't like the comment. So much so that radio stations suddenly refused to play their music. People publicly destroyed their CDs. Do you remember what those are? CDs. But they publicly destroyed them. They lost sponsorships as a band, and they even received death threats. All over one comment at one show. In the last 20 years since then, cancel culture has become rampant. It's attached to celebrities, it's attached to products, and we actually attach it to people as well. If I don't like that person, what they're saying, I'm going to make it known and I'm going to cancel them. We far too easily can't call out people on Facebook, family reunions, friendships and coffees, all because of topics that we don't agree on. Again, it's that book that's there. It's one side or the other. We're volatile and we're polarized. Can I just speak just briefly on social media for a moment? There's a lot to be said here. But can I just say this? Social media was not created for gentleness. I know we show pictures from our family and, you know, we stay in touch and all of that. That's wonderful. But what we see more and more today, especially on community groups, is not gentleness. It's created a platform for how we talk about issues that would not fly if we were sitting across from the same person over at Starbucks. Isn't it interesting? Over Facebook, we have this bravado and think that it's just this little circle of a person, a picture that's there, and have no idea what is on the other side of that. But on top of this, social media was never designed to teach us wisdom. Think about this. Social media was never designed to teach us empathy or to see the other side. The only goal of social media is to reinforce the things we already support and believe in. It's why if you've ever clicked on a cute puppy video, what do you start seeing on your feed all the time? It's puppy videos. And they're all cute, right? And suddenly you start watching more and that's all you see. You'll never see a cat video if you click on puppy videos. And some of you say, amen, that's awesome, right? Whatever. But listen to this, and I'm not an expert. I know some of you are far more than me here, but just understand the algorithms of Facebook, Instagram, and others are designed to create an echo chamber of ideas that only reinforce what we think. If we believe a certain thing politically, we will only start to see quotes and feeds and different things that will feed that same belief. We cannot go on social media to help us see the other side. It does not produce in us gentleness. And so my question is this morning, can we see each other? Gentleness is not seeing ideas as equal, please hear this, but it is seeing the person on the other side as equal and treating them with dignity. Empathy, gentleness, and last one is wisdom. Over all of this should be wisdom. Proverbs 4 talks about the urgency of wisdom, and it says this. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Do you hear that? If it costs you, if your bank account is drained and you have no car, no house, nothing to your name, but you've got wisdom, you've won. I think wisdom says this. It says we don't necessarily have to change our minds because what we believe is what we believe. And if we've thought this through and we've gotten good sources and we have a conviction in us that is that we feel is true, wisdom doesn't come along and say you have to go to the other side. But if we can get out of our entrenchment of what we believe and at least look over and see the other side and learn something, aren't we better for it? Isn't this the goal of having conversations in the first place? That we can learn more. If I can walk off my extreme view and at least understand the issue and the person more, aren't I better off? Aren't I, in the words of Proverbs, wiser for this? And so the question this morning is, can we see? Have we taken that plank out of our own eye? Have we worked to overcome the discriminations, the ego, the things that have been built up in us? Have we worked hard to move off of that, to take our plank out? Because if we have done that, then Jesus says, once that plank is gone, then we can start to see the speck in other people's eyes. God may actually use us to remove the speck from someone else's only when we can see. If you are a person of empathy, of gentleness and wisdom, you have the greatest chance to help someone else see and to remove that speck. In other words, someone might actually want to listen to what you say. How we talk about politics is just as important as what? I'd like to lead us in prayer this morning. Oh, King Jesus, you know that we live in such a polarized age. We feel the tension, we feel the stress, and we are wanting to navigate through it well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would continue to search us. Help us to see the plank and help us to work on that plank. Encourage us where we need encouragement. Convict us where we need conviction. And help us live as apprentices of yours in the relationships around us. That through our conversation, we might honor you more. And so God, we bring these things for you before you this morning. And ask, because as you are the gentle King, that you would move in us, stir in us this morning. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite us to stand this morning. And I want to let you know that there are people who are going to be on sides of the room, front and back. And we would just love to pray with you. That maybe this morning you've come in and maybe there's a weight on you and it's political. Maybe there's been a relationship that has been strained or broken. It doesn't matter from either side, but you just want prayer. Maybe there's something that isn't even related to politics this morning that you have come in with. Maybe you've received bad news this week out of a relationship or a diagnosis. Maybe you're coming and you want to just pray for someone on their behalf this morning. Our people who want to pray with you would be so honored to bring these things to King Jesus with you. May God work in all of us in this time and our day. Amen.